Good morning, everybody. How many are here? I'd like to ask. Some of you haven't gotten here yet, I can see. Well, let me say a word of thanks, appreciation on behalf of my wife, Joan, who's here with me, and myself, that this church has faithfully supported us for many years in the ministry of local church evangelism, and we are thankful for that. Not only that, you've also included in that have supported our Project India program, in which we've been able to bring a number of young people from India over here. And of course, one of those known by many of you was on staff here for a period of time, Chris Nanakin, and also his wife, his fiance, she was at the time. Matter of fact, just a couple of 3 weeks ago in Maryland, Chris and Joy were in our meeting, and we was able to get to see them again. And so we want to say a word of thanks and appreciation for that. I'm not sure there's any still left or not, but on the table at the back, there's some copies of a newsletter, has some information on our family, also on our ministry, and also on a planned move. We've lived in Newport for over 47 years, and Lord willing, on the 16th of December, we are moving to Florida. Okay, now if I had my own personal choice, would I live in Newport or Florida? I'd live in Newport 9 months of the year, in Florida 3. No, I'm just kidding. We'd stay right where we are, but we know this is God's plan for us. Our family lives in Florida. Our daughter and son-in-law, our son-in-law's from Florida. He's founder and pastor of First Baptist Church in Lady Lake, Florida. And then our granddaughter, their daughter and husband, and our two great-granddaughters live only about roughly 10 or 15 minutes from where our daughter and son-in-law live. And so we'll be living at Word of Life in Hudson, Florida. We have a park model RV there that we've had there for probably 15 years or so. We put it there for missionaries, pastors, Christian workers to use free for a week. And it's been a blessing in the lives of so many. And now we're moving into it. So we don't have a large home in Newport. We have a raised ranch. So we have two floors. We also have a two-car garage. We also have a complete finished room over the garage. And my wife and I are both pack rats, and she's a little more than I am. And so we're trying to clean everything out, but we're not taking much with us because you don't put too much in a park model RV. And so that's all you need at this stage in life. And so if you'd pray with relation to the transition and so on, we'd really appreciate it. And Lord willing, if things work out, we'd like to come back in the summer months and be able to minister here in the Maine and in the New England states, and maybe even over into Canada, and we'll see and leave that in the Lord's hand. I had bladder cancer surgery back some time ago, was just scoped this past week, and his report was A+. So I'm happy for that one and thank the Lord. Go ahead, it's good. And then, but I've had nothing but prostate problems since, had three procedures, and I told him in the previous service, it's exciting when you get to an age in life while you talk about urinating, but and my wife has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. It's not in the severe stages yet. She's here with me today, by the way. So we would appreciate your prayers. I want to tell you that so you can pray for her and pray for us. We need that more than anything else. But if we're able to come back in the summertime, Cornerstone Baptist Church in Exeter, Maine, Pastor Stan Griffin, one of the greatest friends that we have, they've purchased our home, and they've told us if we're able to come back, our home is there for us to live in during the summer months. So E.V. Hill, the great black preacher, had a sermon years ago, and he kept saying in his sermon, sometimes God just says here. And so what he's done, he's just said here. And so we just appreciate the faithfulness of our God. Got your Bible there? Turn, if you would, please, the Old Testament to the book of Proverbs in chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading Proverbs 14 and at verse number 17. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart, the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom rests in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Just that far, Proverbs 14, God always blesses his word. Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful for the word of God, for the powerful presentation we saw on the screen, Lord, the power of your word. And so the entrance of thy word bringeth light. And so, Lord, you said, my word goes forth out of my mouth, shall not return void, empty, meaningless, shall accomplish the purpose whereto I sent it. That's our prayer. That's our desire. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1938, Irving Berlin wrote a song. He actually wrote it for Kate Smith. He actually wrote it for the celebration of the 20th anniversary of the ending of World War I. You probably have heard the song somewhere along the way. It's entitled, God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairies to the ocean white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. Question, has God blessed America? Yes. Well, it was pathetic in the first service. It was pathetic in the second service. And it's even worse. I don't know what to use for this service. No, let's try that once again. Has God blessed America?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here. Question, is there any reason under God's heaven why God should bless America?
No.
Question, has God blessed you?
Yes.
God sure blessed me. Question, is there any reason under God's heaven why God should bless you and me? No. Aren't you glad for the unconditional love of God? Aren't you glad for the grace of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, and the goodness of God in our lives? In 1787, 11 years after the birthday of our nation, a man by the name of Edward Gibbons completed and published a book he'd been working on for a long period of time. The book was entitled The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. In that book, he gave what he felt were the five basic reasons for the fall of the Roman Empire. I want to give you those five reasons that he gave, and I'd like you to think of them with relation to our nation and where we are today. Number one, he said the rapid increase of divorce and the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, the basis of human society. Number two, higher and higher taxes, the spending of public money for free bread and circuses for the people. Number three, the mad craze for pleasure. Number four, the building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy is within. And number five, religion decayed, falling into mere form and becoming impotent to guide the people. I would say they're the failure of biblical Christianity to make the impact it should have made. Let me give those to you one more time. Number one, okay, the rapid increase of divorce and the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, the basis of human society. Number two, higher and higher taxes, the spending of public money for free bread and circuses for the people. Number three, the mad craze for pleasure. Number four, the building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy is within. And number five, religion decayed, falling into mere form and becoming impotent to guide the people. He says the Roman Empire was not conquered, it collapsed. Title of my message this morning, One Nation Under God. Subtitle, Exaltation or Excruciation. There are four words I want you to notice in my text this morning. The first one is righteousness. He says righteousness exalteth a nation. Let me give you the most simplistic definition of righteousness that I think I could possibly give you. It's doing right. That's what righteousness really is. Righteous living is right living. If you want a great description of righteousness, biblical righteousness, study Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says the righteous man's happy, says he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, he does not stand in the paths of sinners, he does not sit in the seat of the scoffers, his delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's righteousness. Second word, sin. Sin is reproached in the people. What is sin? Anything that comes short of the character of God. Sin is any lack of conformity to the character of God, whether it be by an act, disposition, or state of being. You see, we can sin by doing nothing. We can sin by doing something. Sin breaks the heart of God. Sin separates man from God. Third word, exaltation. Righteousness exalteth a nation. So I looked up the word. I figured I better get the right definition. It said a state of extreme happiness, to glorify God, an action of elevating someone. So if you're going to exalt the Lord, you lift him high, you praise him, you honor him, you glorify him. So what does God do? He does that same thing for a nation. Righteousness, if that nation lives righteously, honors God, then righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is reproach. So my next word is the word reproach. And if sin is reproach and righteousness exalts, what's the meaning of the word reproach? Well, I looked that one up too. Expressing disapproval, disappointment, displeasure for conduct in need of change, disgrace. I love this one. Chew out. When God chews us out, and he says in Revelation, he may have to spit us out, right? And then the last one was rebuke. And then the other word that I added was the word, of course, that I mentioned to you already, and that is the word of excruciation. And I looked that one up. And excruciation, it says, is intensely painful, causing anguish, unbearable, insufferable chastening. In other words, if we decide that we're going to persist in sin, we're going to persist in rebellion against God, then God is going to bring his hand of chastening, of chastisement, and of judgment upon us. One nation under God. Exaltation or excruciation. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to a young pastor, here's what he says. This know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word perilous there means risky, dangerous, jeopardizing, difficult, hard times to handle. So he said they shall come in the last days. I like to remove the word shall and read the verse this way. This know also, in the last days, perilous times have come. I mean, we are living in risky, jeopardizing, difficult, hard days to handle. I sure wouldn't want to be living in this hour and this day without knowing and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in that scripture in 2 Timothy 3, he gives several descriptions of what it will be like in the last days. I want you to think of them with relation to the hour in which we're living right now. Number one, he said people will be unthankful. Unthankful. I don't know how you observe it, but as I observe it, we are increasingly living in a thankless generation. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. I love that little chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich, full, and free. Many years ago, my wife and I were in a series of meetings in a church, staying with some friends of ours. In our bedroom, there was a plaque on the wall that said, when everything else fails, try Thanksgiving. So I read that every day, sometimes two or three times a day. And after being that two or three days, I thought, why should I wait till everything else falls before I try things, everything else fails before I try Thanksgiving? If we try Thanksgiving up front, chances are we wouldn't have so many things that would fail, right? So the Bible is very plain. We ought to be what? Thankful believers. We have so much for which to thank God. Just to give him praise, honor, and blessing as an individual, as a family, as a church, and as a nation. People will be unthankful. Number two, he said people would be unholy. Now, folks, there was a day in this nation when holiness was adored and unholiness was abhorred. We are living in an hour when holiness is abhorred and unholiness is adored. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And any time man takes the holy and desecrates it as the unholy, you can mark it down through history. The judgment hand of God falls. In Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, had his people prepare a big feast. Okay, probably a drunken brawl would be a good term. They prepared a big feast. In the middle of this feast, he said to his key people, go and get the silver vessels. Bring them into the banquet hall. Now, just in case someone's not familiar with those gold and silver vessels, here's how they obtained them. When they went into battle in Israel, they went into the temple, God's place, and they confiscated those silver vessels and brought them back into a heathen land. They were called holy vessels. Why? Because they were dedicated to the service of Almighty God. So they brought them in the banquet hall, they poured wine in them, and they drank in praise of the false gods of Babylon and in disgrace, okay, of the true Lord God of heaven. Remember, anytime man takes the holy, desecrates it as the unholy, God's judgment falls. All of a sudden, in Belshazzar's palace, the fingers of a man's hand appear, writing a message on the plaster of the wall. The message which was written was this: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Translation: Belshazzar, I've counted your days, it's all over. You know what I found over the years? When God says it's all over, it's all over. Then he said this: Belshazzar, I have weighed you in the scales of eternity, and you've come up short. Upharsin, parai, judgment. When man took the holy, desecrated as the unholy, God wrote a message of judgment on the plaster of the wall. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I think God might be writing a message on the wall of America. You can't be as blessed as we've been. You cannot be the recipient of the blessings of Almighty God as we've been and shake your fist in the face of God and get away with it. Okay, number one, unthankful. Number two, unholy. Number three, unnatural. It says without natural affection. Now, in a mixed audience, younger people, I'm not going to dwell on it. But how many ever dreamed or ever thought we'd live in the United States of America, one nation under God, to see what's happening in our generation? Now, I want you to know something. God loves sinners, but God hates sin. Okay? God loves sinners, but God hates sin. So what have we done? We've taken that which God has ordained and which God has established, and we've thrown it out, and we've come up with our own ideas. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, when you take what God has ordained and you transgress that, the Bible says three times in Romans 1, God gave them up, God gave them up, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now let me just say something and listen carefully, okay? I have read in Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis, the early part of Genesis, where God created them male and female. And to be very honest with you, I've never read anywhere where he ever changed it. So I think it's about time we begin to realize as a people of God what God has to say. And God says, when you take that which I've called holy and you call it unholy, then my hand of judgment will fall. Matter of fact, I've learned, and it's been validated, that here in our state, the state of Maine, we actually have schools that have litter boxes because some of the students have identified as a cat or a dog. All I can say with all the love of Calvary, God help America. One nation under God. But remember this, you either exalt him and receive his blessing, or you rebuke and disgrace him and you receive his hand of judgment. So unthankful, unholy, unnatural. Next, untruthful. There's a word in the King James Bible, truce breakers. It has a variety of meanings, but one of the meanings is untruthful. Let me give you another personal observation. It looks to me as if, sad to say, average in our society today, lying has become a way of life. Now, thank God it hasn't reached the high offices of our land. Just wanted to give you a minute to get that, okay? Lying has become a way of life. You know what? if you always tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said yesterday. If you don't tell the truth, you better remember what you said yesterday. You get yourself in an awful mess. The Bible says in John 14, Jesus is truth. The Bible says in John 16, the Spirit is truth. The Bible says in John 17, the Scripture's truth. So you got it? The Savior's truth, the Spirit's truth, and the Scripture's truth. And John 8:32 says, if you know the truth will make you free. So how important and vital it is that you and I stand up for biblical truth that was so well presented to us in the video just a little while ago. And God honors His Word. Unthankful, unholy, unnatural, untruthful. Let me give you one more. Ungodly. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Ladies and gentlemen, young people, we've never had more form. We've got more form than Quakers got oats. We got profession without possession. We got churchianity without Christianity. We got a religion and no redemption. Okay? We have made a solution without a Savior and a salvation. But we need a genuine realization of a relationship with Almighty God. And just to give an illustration, okay? The epidemic of COVID, and I don't want to minimize it in any way, thousands of lives lost. But you know one thing it's revealed? It's revealed the lack of genuine commitment and faithfulness on the part of so many professing Christians. Why should the attendance of our fundamental Bible preaching churches be less today than they were pre-COVID? Now, in some cases, it may be rare sickness, etc. I understand that. But some just get comfortable sitting at home. Some just get comfortable not coming. And I see it across the land in church after church after church. But when I love the Lord Jesus, and I love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and all that's within me, it's not just a 1 hour a week commitment, folks. It's a 24/7 commitment, because we have a Savior who rules and reigns. And you know what else? He's going to make the final move on the checkerboard of world history. Now, John in his epistles uses the term anti. Anti-Christ, anti-God. The word anti has two meanings. Anti means opposed to God, but anti can also mean in the place of God. We're seeing both today, but I think we may be seeing more of that second one. We're trying to replace God with man-made programs, philosophies, with individuals and so on, and God will not share His glory with another. So, why did the Roman Empire fall? He said it wasn't conquered, it collapsed. The dignity, undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home. The mad craze for pleasure. Gigantic armaments which are so necessary, needed, but the real problems within. And then the decay of religion. Biblical Christianity is the answer. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still the dynamite of God unto salvation. And my God is still in the soul-saving business. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all authority. Let no man despise you. And He said, my word goes forth out of my mouth. Will not return to me void, empty, meaningless. But it will accomplish that whereto I have sent it. In Hebrews 11, the Bible says Enoch was translated, he should not see death. And he said before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. I love it. I love it. When my day comes to leave this old world, unless Jesus comes first, and they put up some kind of a marker, hang a shingle on a tree or something, but if he could say nothing else but those words, he pleased God. He pleased God. If you really, deep down in today, have a desire to please God, say amen. Yeah, all seven of you. Okay, let's try that again. We don't get overly excited in the state of Maine, do we? Okay? If you have an inherent desire, above all else, to please God, say amen.
Amen.
That's a lot better. Okay. Now, here's the question. Can I please God? Can I please God as an individual? Can we please God as a family? Can we please God as a church? Because I believe if there's any hope for this nation, and there is, I believe it rests in the power and the hand of Almighty God, but I believe it begins in our homes. God's first institution on planet Earth was the home. Satan's first attack on planet Earth was the home. And it's his major area of attack today, Christian homes. Doesn't have to attack the unsaved home, they're on his team. And how important it is that we establish Christ-honoring homes. Is this book an open book in your home? Is prayer conducted daily in your home? My mom had a plaque on the wall for many years as I was growing up. Divine business is conducted here daily. I love it. Divine business is conducted here daily. So I did some study and so on how to please God, and I think I've come up with the answer, but you got to stay with me because it's deep. It's way beyond the original Hebrew and Greek, okay? So if you're interested in pleasing God, if you are, raise your hand. If you're interested in pleasing God, couldn't get you to say amen, I'll get you to raise your hand. Okay. Now, number one, here's how you please God. I find out what God likes and I do it. I find out what God likes. I told you it's deep, didn't I? Now, our problem's not the deep things. Our problem's the simple things we don't want to do. Okay? I find out what God likes and I do it. Let's all say it. Ready? I find out what God likes and I do it. Now, look at the person next to you. If they're not saying it, say, get with the program. Please say it. He'll finish a lot quicker. Okay? We're going to try it one more time. Ready? I find out what God likes and I do it. Okay? Number two. I find out what God does not like, and I don't do it. Told you it's deep, didn't I? I find out what God does not like, and I don't do it. And by the way, I checked this out with a grammatical teacher, and it's not a double negative, okay? So here, I want you to say it with me. Ready? I'll tell you what we're going to say, and then we'll say it. I find out what God does not like, and I don't do it. Okay, here we go. Ready? I find out. I think if we say each one of them one time, we might have it. I know what some of you are thinking. Where did Pastor find this loudmouth? Okay, ready? Here we go. First one. I find out what God likes and I do it. Number two. I find out what God does not like and I don't. Thank you. You know what we do? We find out what God likes and we don't do it. Find out what he doesn't like and we do it. And then we wonder why we're not pleasing God. But then you say, but preacher, how am I going to find out what God likes and doesn't like? I'm so glad you asked. We have a manual. We have an atlas. We have a flight plan. We have a guidebook. It's called the Bible. 40 writers writing over a period of 1,600 years from a variety of backgrounds, educated and uneducated. And we have a book, the infallible, the inerrant word of the living God. A dear black preacher said, there's not a contradiction from generations to revolutions. This has got to be the word of the living God. And everything God wants you to know and me to know for belief and behavior, everything he wants me to know to be able to please him is simple, plain, and obvious within the pages of the word of God. So where does it start? It starts in the home. Many years ago, I read a statement. I did some research on it and found out that there's a difference of opinion as to who said it first. So it's original with me because originality is the ability to forget where you got it. No, I don't know who said it originally, but it's a valid statement. Here's what it says. As goes the home, so goes the nation. As goes the home, so goes the nation. I'm concerned for our nation. I believe with all my heart, folks, if we don't have a genuine Holy Ghost, Spirit-sent revival, we're on the skids to hell. When God has poured his divine blessing, but I want to tell you something. God's still on the throne. He still has it all under control, and he's going to make the final move. So, what's the key? Godly home. Godly home makes godly churches, and godly churches makes godly homes. It works together. And godly homes and godly churches make a godly nation. We need to get back to where we were. Okay? So, what's the three-pillar foundation? Pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R, not a pillow. That's what you sleep on. What are the three pillars of a godly home? They're in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly means carefully choosing your steps, walking wisely. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So pillar number one of a solid foundation of a gospel, of a godly home, is the wisdom of God. You and I need every moment of every day the wisdom of Almighty God. What is divine wisdom? It's divine perception. It's spiritual discernment. Divine wisdom is the ability to see the circumstances of life from God's perspective. James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, you come to Cross Point Church the Sunday that Wendell called. No, that's not what it says. It says, if you lack wisdom, what? What's the answer? Ask of God. Ask of God, who gives to all liberally, abundantly, bountifully. And then it says this, he'll not chastise you. He will not reprimand you. He'll not find fault with you for asking. So what do we need in our homes? What do we need in our lives that are going to please God? We need the wisdom of God. And in 1 Corinthians 1:30, here's what it says. Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So if you want the ultimate of wisdom, it's the Son of the living God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's pillar number one. Verse 17 of Ephesians 5 says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. So number one is the wisdom of God. Pillar number two is the will of God. Now, what is the will of God? It's God's plan. It's God's plan. And God has a plan. He has a plan for you personally, has a plan for your home, your family, has a plan for your business, has a plan for the church, has a plan for the nation. And God's plan is an eternal plan. And you know what else? It says in Romans 12:2, it's perfect. So it's really kind of hard to mess up on perfection. So here's the question. For those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, if you're saved today and absolutely sure of it, say amen. Then here's the question. Am I willing to do the will of God, whatever the will of God may be? Am I willing to do the will of God, whatever the will of God may be? And notice the word there. It says understanding. Why would God have a plan for your life and me and my home and say, ha, 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 it's a secret. Hope you guess it. God has a plan. He's going to reveal it. So what do I need? I need, number one, God's wisdom. Number two, I need God's will. But the third pillar of a godly home is in verse 19 of Ephesians 5. Here's what it says. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It says you express the joy of your heart. Are you happy this morning? Amen. Yeah, good. Notify your face. Now, do you have the joy of the Lord? Paul wrote the Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Keep in mind, he had a soldier chained to him around the clock. Here's what he wrote. Rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you didn't get it, he said again, I say rejoice. See, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. If the happenings are happy, you're happy. If they're unhappy, you're miserable. But joy is a relationship. I can have joy in spite of the happenings, in spite of the circumstances. So here's what he said. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. So the third pillar is the word of God. So now you've got the wisdom of God to understand the will of God. You've got the word of God to reveal to you the will of God by God's wisdom. So there's it. You can't separate. It goes together like love and marriage goes together like a horse and carriage. You couldn't separate one from the other if you tried. So what do I need? God's wisdom. Secondly, God's will. Thirdly, God's word. Question. How much time did you spend in the book last week? Question. How long have you been saved? How many verses have you memorized? How much have you committed to memory? Well, I just can't memorize. Yeah, a parrot can memorize. You look at a parrot and say, hi. Looks back and says, hi. It's all memorization. What's it say? Thy word have I hid where? In my heart. Why? That I might not sin. Okay? This book, one man had written in the flyleaf of his Bible. This book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. So, if we're going to build godly homes, we need God's wisdom, God's will, and then act in obedience to God's word. Now let me wrap it up. One nation under God. Don't get excited. I'm wrapping it up, but I wrap up three times. This is the first one. Okay? One nation under God. Exaltation or excruciation. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we have the message to the seven churches of Revelation. In Revelation 2:5, we have the message to the church at Ephesus. And God says to them, you've done some good things. He commended them. Then he said, however, I have something against you. Now listen, you've done a lot of wonderful things, but I've got something against you. What do you have against them? You've left your first love. You've left your first love. Christian, have you left your first love? Was there a day when you loved this book and spent time in it? Was there a day when you shared Jesus Christ with others? Faithful to God, not just an hour on Sunday morning, pat God on the back, see you next week if I'm not too busy. No, this matters 24/7. Commitment to the one who loved me, saved me by his grace, took me off the path to hell, put me on the road to heaven, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God says, I got something against you, left your first love. And then there's three words in that verse, chapter 2, verse 5 of Revelation, and with these I close. God said to them, remember. God's saying to America today, remember. This nation was founded on the principles of this book. The educational system of this country came into being because parents wanted their children to be able to read and understand the Word of God. One nation under God. Exaltation or excruciation? Remember. Remember where you once were. Remember what you were before Christ. Remember what a change he made in your life. Remember in those difficult circumstances how God worked and overruled, and you're here today because of the goodness of the grace of God. Secondly, he says, repent. Repent. You're not where you used to be. You've left your first love. What's repentance? Repentance is a change and a decision that issues in a change of direction. Repentance means I was going this way, 180 degrees, I'm now going this way. What is it? The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I wonder if there might need to be some genuine repentance. Just coming to, oh God, I've messed it up. And 1 John 1:9 says, he's faithful to forgive. He's ever faithful. First word, remember. Second word, repent. Here's the third one, or else. He said, you either remember and repent or else. I wonder if God may be saying to America today, you either remember and repent or else. Here's what he said, third word, I will remove your candlestick. I will remove your testimony. I will remove your church. I challenge you today to find the church of Ephesus. I challenge you to find any one of the seven churches of Revelation. Only place you find them is when archaeologists dig in the dirt. I wonder if God may be writing a message on the plaster of the wall. I've counted your days. It's all over. I've weighed you in the scales of eternity, and you've come up short. You farson, parade, judgment. Remember, repent or else, I will remove. One nation under God. Exaltation or excruciation. Father, thy word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. You said, my word will not pass away. You said, my word's going to accomplish the purpose for which I gave it. And so, Lord, today, may the infallible, the inerrant, the eternal word of a living God find an abiding place in our hearts and our lives. Spirit of a living God, fall fresh upon us. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ personally, not absolutely sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Please, don't walk out of this auditorium till you've settled the eternal destiny of your soul. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He rose from the grave, and he offers to you today forgiveness, peace with God, everlasting life, and the assurance of a home in heaven forever. Now, Christian, how is it between your soul and the Savior? Was there a day when you walked with God, but you may not be today? How is it? How's your faithfulness to the Lord? How's your faithfulness to the Word of God? How's your commitment to the local church? But above all, how's your commitment to Jesus Christ? I wonder if there might need to be some remembering, some repenting, or else, I will remove. I don't know. Prophecy experts and scholars, and I don't mean expert in the wrong way. Prophecy scholars, most of them cannot find the United States in biblical prophecy. We are one of the greatest blessed nations under heaven. We're one of the few countries people are trying to get into instead of out of. But how thankful we ought to be. So if God has really spoken to your heart this morning, would you take a moment and do some business with him? You got confession to make? Do it. You got repentance? Do it. You want to please God? Find out what he likes and do it. Find out what he doesn't like and don't do it. And if you've done business with God today, I'd like to pray for you in my closing prayer. All I'm going to ask you to do is slip your hand up. That you simply prayed, thank you, God bless you. You simply prayed and said, Lord, I want to do business. I want my life to count for you. Yes, God bless you. I want my life to count for eternity. Anybody else before I pray? Yes. Yes, let's pray. Thank you. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for your love. But above all, I thank you for yourself. And Lord, one nation under God, exaltation or excruciation. Today, help us to honor you on planet Earth. We love you. In Jesus' name.